Meeting of the Port of Kingston Commissioners is called to order at 9 a.m. on April 17th, Tax Day. We can stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
The flag is there, isn't it?
There.
Yeah.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So, public, is there any comment?
Of course there is.
I'm not surprised. Would you like to address the, and I have some feedback for you, by the way.
You do, now or later?
Well, wait till we get to the lease. So,
for the record, I'm Ron Karsmar.
Thank you.
I'm a Kingston resident, and I guess in a way I own part of this port because of the other 4,000 people that also are district members. I come from a long career with a lot of different changes in my career. I'm a physicist, and I've done a lot of work in finance and electronics as well. And I've run all the way through the gamut of working on fast, high-speed SSTs, all the way to the when I quit the corporate world, where I was a CEO of five different manufacturing companies in the world that did advanced manufacturing and design of military equipment. I quit that, and I know this is all boring, but I quit this in 1990 and formed my own company. I find it very strange that I'm up here looking at this agreement, and one of the things I did was deeply involved with passenger-only ferry. One of the things that I did was work and was hired as a consultant by the Italians to put in a POF from Toronto down to the Niagara Falls area. And I went through things like this, except I was on the Kitsap Transit site dealing with Toronto in the areas around Niagara Falls, St. Catharines and all those things. I found it very difficult, but I learned a lot. So POFs are not an unfamiliar territory for me. With that, I'd like to say that I have concerns with this document. And I'm here for two reasons. One is I sent you all an email explaining what my concerns were, and I got no response. And the other concern is for all the kids that are going to have to live with an agreement like this, if you approve it, for 50 years. Now, you just said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. You can't see it, can you? But you know it was there. I want you to visualize all the kids that are in our public schools behind me. Now you have a better view because there's windows. All of those kids, plus kids that are 10 years old, not even born yet, behind us. Those are the kids that are going to grow up and have to live with this agreement. And I can go through the agreement, and I can talk about it, why it's a bad deal. And I might as well do that, but if this is a done deal, then I'm wasting my time. If you guys are willing to discuss it and understand what I'm going to tell you, then I'm willing to stay here and do it. It's up to you. And I don't want to bore the rest of the public by talking about there's only a few parts of this agreement that are upsetting to me. One is that it is essentially an exclusive deal for Kitsap Transit for 50 years. You can argue with me, because I won't have a chance to do a dialogue with you later, that no, Karsmar, it's not an exclusive deal. There's a thing called preferential use. That, if you turn to page 9, you're all shaking your head like you know what I'm going to talk about, is what defines preferential use. And it allows the leasor, which is you, to use that facility under three conditions. Number one, that you can't use it on a non-routine basis. You can't use it if it interferes with Kitsap Transit. And you can't use it unless in advance the use has been coordinated. And I don't know what that means legally. I guess that means that Kitsap Transit is going to have to approve it. that effectively makes this exclusive to Kitsap Transit. It eliminates anybody coming in here from another POF or another service coming in here and bringing tourists or anybody else here and taking them somewhere else. It totally excludes another POF from operating in and out of here. It excludes provisioning of fishing boats, which we used to do. Am I boring you?
No.
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
I have other stories. And I can tell you that, to me, that's a major concern. And what's going to happen in the next 50 years, I can't tell you. But I've been lucky enough to learn my career to be on the advanced side of technology. Mm-hmm. And I can look at 50 years hence, and I can say, okay, let's look at 50 years back. And look at all of the things that changed just here in Kingston. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that's been exponential. Mm-hmm. So I can say the last 100 years around here is probably more indicative of the next 50 years. Mm-hmm. We're going to have boats that come around here and can go, and I tell you, they already exist. I can put a boat in here, a passenger boat, and run from here down to Olympia in less than 45 minutes. Okay, it's called a WIG, a wing and ground effect. If you're a pilot, you know what I'm talking about. There's huge, exciting things that are going to happen to Puget Sound. The mosquito fleet will probably come back. Mm-hmm. There may be a great airport up there, Payne Field, that we want to have a service from Kingston up there. This agreement prevents all of that from happening. Probably in 20, 30 years, that float is going to be obsolete because of these advanced things. So that's a concern of mine. The agreement makes it exclusive to Kitsap Transit. Second concern is the cash flow that this agreement lays out. Mm-hmm. Cash flow is defined as the income that's coming in and the costs that it's going to cost. So the net of that is the cash flow. Hello, John.
How are you?
Let me look at the agreement and I'll tell you, 45 pages is something I had to puzzle through for more than a couple hours. Mm-hmm. I must be slow at this, but I hate the legalese. Let's see, on the positive side of the cash flow, you get $250 a month for administrative costs. And that's for insurance costs and maintenance and all that kind of stuff. And then you get another walloping $90 for your PMA agreement. Mm-hmm. And you all know what that is, and I don't have to define it because it's so small. I think it has to do with the DNR, and I don't know where the $90 goes. Mm-hmm. That's on the positive side. You might get a little money from the fuel sales, but you've knocked that out of this agreement. That's not even part of this thing. Let me tell you something, and I'm sorry if I get emotional, but you don't see me this way very often. Mm-hmm. The fuel consumption for that boat that the Kitsap Transit bought, the finest, is going to be a gas guzzler. I'm sorry, a fuel guzzler, because it's diesel. As comparison, the Spirit of Kingston is half the size of the finest. Mm-hmm. We pushed that baby up to 27 knots, and we guzzled 85 gallons of fuel an hour. Now, from a physics standpoint, the faster you go, the drag on the hull goes up exponentially, by the square, by the way, it doesn't matter. But mm-hmm. If you look at the amount of fuel that finest is going to go, or any passenger boat that you put down there, is going to cause anybody that has any inkling of what the costs are, going to take that boat and have an option to go over to Harbor Island and fuel it up at a much, much greater discount relative to Kingston's fuel cost, either at Maxim's Petroleum or ARCO or any of the other services down there. And I don't think you're going to make any money. You might, like a grocery store, make it up on volume, okay? But you're not, you have to truck your fuel in here by truck, by mm-hmm. tankers. Mm-hmm. Because it's out of the agreement right now, you have no negotiating to make any profit at all. So when I look at all that, and I look more at the negative side, you've agreed, and I'm sorry to be critical of this. I know how difficult this has been. I went through it with Toronto, okay? Mm-hmm. Terrible. You've agreed to put in all of the $1.3 million of improvements to that facility that you now own. You ought to know by now that when you did the covered moorage, you're going to run into unexpected problems. If you don't believe that, go talk to the county on the west Kingston Bridge. I mean, there are things that are going to happen that you're going to be responsible and have to resolve. It's going to cost you money. I'm not including that because I don't know how much money. You've already sunk a lot of money in there by hiring a lawyer. I know I'm going over my 3 minutes, and I apologize for it, but you already hired a lawyer to do an Obama health care document of 44 some pages, and it's ironic that you almost have one page for every year of the term. I would like to see a financial analysis of what you really think this is going to benefit cost-wise and cash-wise to the port for the next 50 years. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you've given away 5 permit parking slots free for 50 years. I don't know what a permit parking is going to be worth 50 years. Right now, mm-hmm. it's what, $75, something like that? I don't know if you guys know better than I do. Mm-hmm. 50 years, for 50 years. I think it's kind of ironic that Kitsap Transit's pushing public transportation and yet their employees have to use a car, but that gets us in a side issue. That brings me to the bigger question, that I don't believe the way this is written that this does the community any good at all. The only benefit that it can, and because it's exclusive, is that maybe it will help with the economic development of the community. That's a positive, but I will remind you that in the recent past, there have been 2 attempts to get a POF from here to Pier 50. The Aqua Express ran for 8-9 months.
Yep.
And the Sound Runner ran, I think, for almost 2 years. And between those two, as I recall, and I'm getting too old to recall too accurately, but I think the Aqua Express got up to like 78 passengers for their run in a nice, beautiful, rebuilt Taiyi, which is an old Washington State ferry boat. And on the Spirit of Kingston, I think we were lucky to get close to 40. I walk around town a lot, and while those boats were running, I didn't see any significant change to Kingston. Hopefully they would be changes with a POF. That's why I voted for this, and I hope it works, and I hope it doesn't. It doesn't become an embarrassment to me that I publicly can say I voted for this thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't see a benefit that we can put on paper with an exclusive right when we have no other source of income or use for the community. There, I've said it.
Thank you.
And I thank all the kids that you can see behind me for giving this another consideration. And it I know it's a difficult thing to... I hate to have a media circus out of this. How do we get back to the point where we can do it? And I have some solutions, but I'll talk to you later about those if you want. Because mm-hmm. there's only one big hiccup that I have, and that's that exclusivity.
Thank you. John, did you have anything you wanted to say?
Yeah, I did have first of all, I wondered why...
Can you identify yourself?
I'm sorry?
Couldn't you identify yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm John Soule, resident of Kingston. First of all, I was wondering why this agreement wasn't circulated publicly so that people could have a chance to study it in depth, as Ron has been able to do. That's the first thing. Secondly, it strikes me that John Clausen must have written it for you, because I didn't see any great advantages to the port, and I expressed at the last meeting that you folks had where this topic kind of came up. I don't see where the Port of Kingston owes any special considerations, if you will, to Kitsap Transit for this. You guys are a separate entity. We've got a facility out here and mm-hmm. a whole bunch of land and so forth for the benefit of the community, and it's me, it's your obligation to maximize that asset, and I don't see where we've seen any particular calculations or whatever. What's the market value of that? Kitsap Transit, it appears to me, has determined what it is. I'd like to know where the $1.3 million came from, mm-hmm. and specifically what's going to happen I guess I'd say, since we, not myself included, I voted against that ferry, but since that passed, there's been about four or five things that were promoted in the promotion of that vote on the sales tax. And all that's particularly gone as they planned is they've started collecting the tax. There have been numerous hiccups that they promised, oh, we've got this and that. They were going to have King County Marine operate it. That hasn't worked out. I don't know what their agreements are as far as dock space over on the other side. They've had numerous breakdowns in the boats. They bought the one from New York, and now they're putting a bunch of money into that. And to me, they have sold us a bunch of smoke and mirrors. And again, I said, I think John Clausen must have written this agreement. And then, in addition to that, the term of it is 50 years. A lot can happen in 50 years, and I really don't think that personally, I don't have a lot of confidence that that POF is going to be in business for 50 years, for sure. And when they fold up, then what happens? You know, if they're broke, how are you going to sue them for a breach of contract? You're going to take over their broken down boats that they may or may not have. I think you need to go back and, or at least tell us, how did this agreement get drafted specifically? And where are the numbers to support what's in here? And so forth. You know, you talk, they made a lot of estimates when they were selling us that, the POF idea. Show us the real numbers and how you got there. Improve up in a meeting like this, demonstrate how this is structured and why it's structured as it is. I mean, there's a lot of verbiage in here, probably written by their attorney, and I think we need to know more.
So would anyone, thank you, John, would anyone have an objection to our switching the action items and starting with a POF lease and a development agreement?
I have no objection.
No, that's fine.
Okay. There's a number of informational things that you've brought up that I think Jim needs to address, and then there are some broader philosophical and outcome things that I think we all need to address. But Jim, a couple of things that I'm hoping that you can speak to are how the agreement was drafted, where the numbers came from. I imagine you, in terms of the $1.3 million, and what the agreement conversation, the negotiations around the 50 years, I think is a critical starting point, and then we can get into the whole conversation about exclusive use and some of the other things that you brought up.
Would you be able to offer comments or be part of the dialogue? Or controlled?
Controlled?
Yeah, you're talking to me.
Yeah, no, I just had to really try to put that over this conversation. I would like to start with Jim addressing some things, and then we can take a period to get some comment about it. If you're comfortable with that, it's a little different from how we normally do it. Okay.
So the agreement is 6 months in the making and five commissioners. We've had seven public meetings that we've talked about this. The commissioners have been informed all along the way and have had copies of this. So I wanted to preface it, that this wasn't a backroom deal. Our attorney wrote this. Kitsap Transit's attorney did not write this. This is a very complicated lease because the port actually owns very little out there. The tidelands are owned by the state. The public access pier is controlled by RCO. We own a float that is sinking and in need of desperate repair. And we've got a transfer span that rains more on the inside than it does on the outside. The estimate for $1.3 million came from contractors that I solicited of what it would take to bring that up to a point where it could be usable. So in going to in Kitsap Transit, we had a couple options. We could spend the $1.3 million of the port's money, which we don't have, and we could charge them a landing fee, and if they go out of business, they'd say, see you later, you're stuck with $1.3 million of improvements. Or we could go to them and say, you, Kitsap Transit, are going to pay the $1.3 million to us up front. And from that, we will deduct $1,800 a month in rent. And if you do your math, $1,800 a month, which is more than market rate, upped by CPI every year, will take 35 years to work off that $1.3 million. So if you read the agreement, at the end of 35 years, the commission and staff at that time will renegotiate a rate from 35 to 50. So it was a way of getting improvements done that we can't afford and couldn't do, providing the community with passenger-only ferry service that everybody tells me day to day, when is it going to happen, because we need it. The commissioners, all five of them that I've spoke to, really wanted this to be a community asset, much like Mike Wallace Park. You know, we don't make a dime on Mike Wallace Park, but it's a community asset that drives the community. So that's been the negotiating all along. It was never a monetary negotiating, we're going to make money off this. It was, we don't want to lose money on this. So the fuel agreement, although we've agreed in principle, because Kitsap Transit is actually paying for fuel lines to be run out there, the chances of them going somewhere else for fuel are pretty remote. So we have a lot of negotiating power for fuel and flowage fees. So we're presently talking 5 cents a gallon, whether that's a reality or not. They go through 1,000 gallons a day. 5 cents a gallon is a lot of money. We also talk about 120 parking spaces that are available for rent at $7 a day. So that's going to be income to the port. So all along the negotiations came that the port would make its money on parking and fuel, and we would provide the access to those community assets at a very low cost. So that's how that all worked out. Like I said, we backed those numbers in, Kitsap Transit didn't. We came up with them, we've bid those jobs. You'll see if this passes, we have a contract for the transfer span to approve. If it doesn't, that'll go away. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at. Our lawyer believes it's a good deal. I believe it's a good deal. Kitsap Transit, I think, believes it's a good deal. But they weren't the driving force in this. We were.
Can you address what happens if they go belly up?
So there's a reversionary clause. If they go belly up, we get all the assets and they go away. So we don't pay them the $1.3 million. They've paid that up front to us with full reversionary clause. So if 10 years from now they say we don't want to do this anymore, the port has that asset to do anything it wants with.
So now you
so
can.
I understand a lot of that, and a lot of this stuff is hypothetical. If you look at the 1.3 million, I think that should be clarified, because you don't get a dime out of that. That's all in these prepayments. And if you do the math for the 17, 10, or whatever you get that's advanced payments, that goes out to 63 years. So you're assuming that the CPI adjustments are going to bring it down to 35 years, and frankly, I don't really care what it is. But I want the public to know that you don't get a dime during that period of time. You still may have a negative cash flow. And Jim, I understand the difficulty of doing it. What I don't understand, and I don't know about a dime or a nickel or whatever you get per gallon, I guess that's, I don't know how you compare with what Harbor Island does, and I don't know where they're going to fuel up their other boats. But I do not understand how that preferential treatment clause got in there. I do not understand that. And that, to me, is the biggest hiccup that I've been trying to overcome.
So the $1,800 is for 180 feet of dock. That's $10 a foot, one way to look at it, which is more than our market rate. So they are paying for that. They're just paying for that up front. Because we don't have a rentable facility right now. That facility is worthless. It should be condemned. So in order for us to get to that point, they've offered to pay their money up front. So to say they're not paying us a dime is wrong, because they are paying us $1,800 a month.
Cash flow, they're not paying you a dime.
That is true.
Okay. But in all of that's great. And believe me, I understand the difficulty of trying to negotiate with anybody when it comes to using that kind of an asset. I do not understand exclusivity and the preferential treatment, where you have two sides of that dock. They just leased the Melissa Ann for over $300,000, which has got to be moored on one side or the other, and the finest on the other side. There is no room for anybody else to come there for as long as they have a back boat. Last time we had a general meeting, I suggested to you that you consider putting Kitsap backup boat against the barges or against the containers or somewhere else. So there would be half of that float available for the community and the leasors or its agents or anybody to use that and be a real benefit. That's the one hiccup I have. Why did it turn out to be a preferential treatment and not a non-exclusive deal for the rest of the community?
So, I don't want this to be the public debate hour here, but let me tell you some of the reasoning. Number one, the estimates to build something for to moor a boat next to the containers is over $1 million. So who would pay that $1 million to have that facility put in place? So that's one question. The second is, because the Finest has a passenger count of 350 people, it has security requirements that a passenger boat of 149 does not have. So it needs exclusive security, it needs controlled security all the time. So to say we can provision fishing boats just wouldn't work operationally. You know, people compare it, and I believe you compared it to King County. How does King County do this over there? They've got a full-time union staff that mans that operation 24 hours a day. We don't have that. So in order to provide security for the Coast Guard, there's just no way to open that up to just anyone to come in. So the best we could get with John and his attorney was, look, if we want someone to come in, if we want a whale watching boat to come in once a week, we want to set that up with you. So when your boat is in Seattle, we can moor there for 5 minutes to load up. And he agreed to that, as long as they agreed to the security clearance requirements. Mm-hmm. That's the best we could do. I mean, I can't control their marketing plan and their operations plan.
Could I ask one thing? And I agree that we don't want a debate. And I have some responses to yours. But I would like to be able to have an opportunity to go one-on-one and to allow the public to understand better what the agreement is and all of the wonderful things that you guys have done and all of the reasons we are where we are before you agree on this. Give us a couple days. I can meet with you. I'd like to see something given to the public so this doesn't come out as a surprise. I didn't want to do this in public. I tried not to do it, but you forced me to do it. So I would like to be able to delay this with the hopes that we can go through some of the other options and make this palatable to both you and the community so this is looked at as a good deal and something that's wonderful for the community, because right now, I'm not sure that's going to happen.
I would say that strike me that it would be more potentially palatable, or at least less likely to get some negative comment from the public if that took place, because that way it was an open type thing. And right now it sort of seems like a closed session, even though it's a public meeting and so forth. We need to make a little more effort to circulate this in some form or fashion so that you aren't subject to some criticism, because, gee, I didn't get a chance to look at it or comment on it, etc. Then this one quick question I had about the fuel thing. You said a nickel a gallon. Was that what you're going to make over and above cost? Is that what you...
Flowage fee. Okay. So remember that this is a dynamic lease operation. These three commissioners are not going to make this determination, because there's five commissioners at Kitsap Transit that have to make it. So just because you want three more days for them to make a decision, then that's going to go back to Kitsap Transit for another month for them to decide if they're going to agree to that. So it comes back to this body to agree. It's not as easy as dealing with a company, because you've got two public boards that are making this decision, mm-hmm. Which is fine. But know the ramifications of that, that if this goes longer than a month, we will not have passenger ferry service this year.
It's been 18 months since this measure was passed in 2016. 18 months. You're running on their time schedule, and I really don't care about another month.
The consequences it isn't another month. Excuse me, Your Honor. It's a really important piece here. It isn't another month. We have a construction window and a lot of work that has to be done, and we're not starting on all of that work until the deal is signed. We're already 6-8 weeks beyond when all of the administrators wanted to see it happen, mm-hmm. because of continuing to hammer and hone the agreement. So it isn't just another month. It is basically next year, because we won't get the construction done. Is that a fair statement? Yeah. So I think that's really important. I didn't mean to interrupt rudely, but I think that's important to recognize.
Frankly, ma'am, I'd rather wait another year than to go into this agreement.
I don't think the public is going to accept that, though.
Just for your information, this meeting isn't even on the Village Green agenda. It's mm-hmm. missing. So there's going to be a lot of problems with the way this has been presented. And I don't think it would take very long to make a few small adjustments in this to go down to Kitsap Transit. I'll go with you and make a few adjustments, and that has to do with that exclusivity. And I think Clausen is going to learn real quickly that to spend $368,000 $100,000 for a backup boat, which they hope they'll never use, he's going to find that he doesn't need that. Okay, we went through this on POFAC when you guys, the port, tried to do it. Kitsap, it has an alternate route from Kingston down to the Bainbridge Ferry, which only is a 40-minute delay when they can't use the boat for whatever reason. And there will be times that you can't use a boat, no matter whether it works or not, because of the weather. And we learned that on the Spirit of Kingston. So there will be times when you have to take a bus down there anyway. You probably heard about some idiot around here that wanted a double-decker English for charm. Well, that was me. So I would hope that, I guess I understand a year's delay, and I have no idea what the public is going to think or not think. But it wouldn't be hard to make a few adjustments and try to convince Clausen and Daryl that if we can only do that, if we only have the exclusivity for a year or 2 years and then open it up, that would make me happy, because nothing's going to happen within 2 years. Maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years, we're going to want other people. And you can try it, and we can evaluate that. But for God's sakes, don't have an exclusive deal for 50 years.
Jim, where do you stand if this passes and goes marching down the road? You were talking about construction schedule. Where do you stand with the county as far as permits and stuff go?
We would lose our contractor to first start. We would lose. We've already rescheduled our haul out for the barge, so we need a dry dock for that because it's 40 feet wide. They could say we can't take it for 6 months. We're at their mercy now. So,
well, how about the county as far as your building permits?
We're all set.
That can be torturous.
We're all set. We're all ready for that.
Okay.
No, but that's locked in. You know, that is a lock in. That's critical.
It is, but I've seen it be a very torturous experience.
So we have a different permitting requirement because we have a substantial shoreline permit that is linked to our HPA, which is a hydraulic project approval by Fish and Wildlife. So that's how we were locked into that permit. We have 5-year permit cycles, and to do this maintenance work, we can do that.
So the county is outside the
pre-approved to do, as long as we're not building new, where all we're doing is doing maintenance on existing, that works with the state.
So it's about $500,000 to redo the barge?
The barge is $610,000. The transfer span is 297, I think the contract says. Running fuel and sewer lines is 300,000, 150,000 each to run that 900 feet with fuel pumps and new turbines.
But your timeline is more predicated on the barge rebuild.
Well, if we lose our contractor, low bid contractor on the transfer span, because he has another job, which he does, we'll have to rebid it. So,
but that's not on the critical path. And you have enough money on the port to go ahead and do the barge and get that done, because there's no question in my mind that eventually that barge is going to be used for a POF with Kitsap Transit, no matter what. So if you went ahead and expended the $600,000, I don't think that's a gamble. You can do that for your timeline and let us have a little bit more time to work with Kitsap Transit.
That would be a commission decision. That would take us below our reserve limit.
You have the money and you get it back. You get it back.
Can I make a statement? I just want to make a statement for the record that this meeting actually was, we did follow the laws in posting it. It's posted on the community board. It's sent out to our group emails. It's posted on our front door. So
it's on the community sign?
It's on the community, yeah. So we've made every effort to let the community know.
I don't fault you at all. I understand that. But the public perception may be something. There's not too many people here.
That's how it always is.
And I think this is a really good opportunity to recognize that we do have on staff the capability to, between what Nick Pittmeyer is going to write in the publicly owned media and what the port can put out in its media describing the components of the lease, the agreement. So. I think the balance between let's stop and tell people who obviously are so interested that they're here today versus the people that say, oh, it's going to be another year before this happens. I personally have to give the another year before it happens a heavier weight than whether or not people reached a comfort level with this and said, okay, they're doing a good job. And that's how I read the fact that there aren't 30 people here screaming about this.
Let's just take just a few days and see if we can't figure out how to cover some of the things that I believe the public will be upset about when they learn. And that has to do with exclusivity. And I've talked to you and I've talked to several of you about the exclusivity. I follow this all along since January. And I was told that the exclusivity is a major problem. And when I was told and summarized by Jim that the exclusivity would be basically not unreasonably withheld, well, that's all changed now with this preferential. I'm asking just a couple days to help work out a deal where you guys shine and the public's gonna be happy and we can get Kitsap Transit to maybe change and bend the rules and not 50 years of exclusive use of that barge.
We actually had many negotiations, and that was one of the points that when it was before Steve came on, mm-hmm. that Mary and I were very unified in what we said, that we did not want it to be exclusive. And preferential was what we went with. That we thought that would give us the opportunity and the ability to bring in other boats, other people that wanted to come in. That was a real stickler for Mary and I, and we were very set on that and sent Jim back to Kitsap Transit with that being one of our, hey, we really want this to not be exclusive. And that's when we got the lawyers involved and they came together and that's what they came up with.
But you'll agree that preferential use is not non-exclusive.
It's not non-exclusive, but it gives us an opportunity.
For non-routine things. You cannot bring in another boat on a schedule and use that. It's very clear.
Actually, I don't think it says that.
Yes, it does. Look at subsection R.
R, preferential use area.
Read it. Mm-hmm. Non-routine.
Non-routine.
So it does say that. it has three issues in there. Non-routine is one.
Uh-huh.
And if you have two votes tied, I would be happy for John Clausen and everybody else to say, okay, we need the preferential treatment for at least 2 years to see how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then renegotiate it after 2 years, and let's see what makes sense, and let's see what the other opportunities are, and let's get a glimpse into the future about Cross Sound and the mosquito fleet and all that. Just 2 years, 3 years if you want, even 5 years would make me happy, but not 50 years from a preferential treatment
mm-hmm.
deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why Kitsap Transit wouldn't agree to that, because I can tell you from firsthand experience, starting up a POF is a very difficult thing. And if you don't have a lot of money, then it's not going to work. He's going to learn a lot in the first couple years. Give him everything he wants for the first couple years, and let's renegotiate that particular clause in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years' time, so we're not stuck for 50 years. I'm sorry, I've taken up a lot of time, and
so, Terry, you had something you wanted to say?
Well, I was just curious. Given the heightened security that's going to be required with 350 passengers, is there any practical way you could have had a non-exclusive contract? I mean,
first of all,
you can't let just anybody in, if I understand correctly. Is that right, Jim?
So, thank you. Jim?
Yes, that is true. So, you know, I liken it to Washington State Ferries. You can't just go out on that dock anytime you want, or you can't have another fishing boat tie up to Washington State Ferries. So, I mean, that's the exact same thing we're talking about. They have exclusivity, but we could go back to the Washington State Ferries and say, we want to tie up fishing boats to your piers and see what the state says about that.
First of all, we passed a measure here for 149 passenger boat. And then Clausen went up to 200 and then went 250. They went and bought a 350 passenger boat. Kitsap Transit Board has told me that they're not going to allow more than 250 people on it. So it's only a 250 boat until they build their own. And because of the way the wording is written in that agreement, they already recognize that the leasor, you and other people, can use it on a preferential use base, which already precludes the fact that they're worried about security for people that are coordinated and approved to come in there. So I don't buy that argument. And it's and it doesn't apply to the forest at a 350 pack deal. Pack means passenger in that POF language. I'm still going to ask for a breather so we can go down and eliminate that for a 50-year deal and make it a smaller one and renegotiate it. But you may come out with the same thing, but at least let's have the ability to re-look at it in a couple years after they learn what they're going to learn with their startup.
So just so we're all aware, full disclosure, Kitsap Transit is voting on this in about 3 hours. So their board is voting on this too. So if they voted in, it would be very awkward for us to say we need more time. But
well, it's our contract.
I thought one of you said, perhaps it was you, Mary, it was going to go from you down to them, and it was going to take about a month for them to chew it up and so forth. But now it sounds like it's
If we change it. So they have the same thing in front of them as you.
It's going to take a month right now for them to do anything.
No, they'll do it today, unless we don't. In which case, we'll go back to the drawing board, and it will be at least a month when they meet again.
Because they only meet monthly.
Yeah.
They can have a special meeting, can they not? You do.
This is a special meeting.
The likelihood that they would do a special meeting is based on a conversation I had with John Clausen yesterday is very low. But I would defer to your sense of that, Jim.
That's what they've told me. Their board is made up of a different makeup, and they really only have two meetings a month. But just to get any changes that we make through staff and attorney could take a month before it even gets to the board.
Well, I'm sorry, you're working to a timeline that's been around for 18 months.
Well, we have worked for the timeline. We have been going back and forth with them based on input and our own judgment for months now. And the question of the preferential use and the length of the agreement were specific things that we sent back for further discussion. And I think Jim's addressed the reasoning for those as it has come back. So,
but that's all recent. I mean, at last time I checked with any number of you, it was not to be unreasonably withheld. So all this preferential treatment is brand new stuff that came out the way it is, and it's been at the last minute of an 18-month cycle. So I'm sorry to hear that, but it's not your fault. I don't care whose fault it is. We are where we are.
They also have to have assurances that they're going to be able to land here on a regular schedule. To me, the leasee subject right for the routine basis has some wiggle room there that I'm comfortable with, to be honest. I think that we can invite other users to that dock to be able to land, whether it's routine. That's their fear, is that some other blackball company or somebody else is going to come in on a routine basis and take their passengers and their profit. So we've got locked in with that as a problem for them that we've addressed with this. That's part of the problem. They need assurance.
Why don't some of us get in a car and we'll go down to wherever they're having this meeting and I'll go make my pitch. Jim, you could help me if you agree. If it's a small change to make that preferential use last for 2 years, and then you open it up again to negotiation. And if they were successful before getting this in, they can be successful in 2 or 3 years to do the same thing. It just gives us a chance not to be stuck with 50 years of exclusive use.
But you have to keep in mind, too, that they're also the amount of money that they're putting up front. If we were to say you can only have the exclusivity for 2 years and then we have to renegotiate, we basically would open the door for taking away their ability to actually make money off of the fact that they've just put $1.3 million up front into our facility.
You mean our tax money that you're worried about, the money that you and I are paying with 0.3%?
Let's not get into an argumentative thing, or I'm shutting it all down. The fact that we're having a conversation like this is unusual, and I'm happy for it until it starts getting hostile. Then it's really not anyone's benefit.
The only thing is, I might just add one slight thing. Mary is, again, early on I said, I don't feel that the port owes the transit company any particular favors, if you will, whatever you might want. They don't need special consideration. They, again, operate, went forward with, as I characterized it, smoke and mirrors to sell the deal. They didn't have it nailed down at all, and now they're going to start wanting this or that. And I think we need to approach it strictly from the standpoint of what's good for the port and for the taxpayers of this, that we're supporting it through our taxes, both on the port and on the sales tax thing. I just don't think they negotiated particularly in good faith when they sold that to all the taxpayers.
Well, I don't think any of us can do anything about what happened with the boat.
No, but I don't think at the same time that the port owes them any special considerations. You're a business in and of itself, and it should be to, as trustees, if you will, to do the best deal you can get from them, regardless of their, I don't think you necessarily have commonality of where you're headed, so to speak. So if you went and did business with ABC Company and so forth, you have perhaps a different attitude if you were on a strictly business-to-business type situation.
Well, I think each of us can address how we feel about that, and I know before you were mm-hmm. here, we had quite a bit of conversation yeah. about whether the benefit was,
yes.
the most important benefit was to the port's bottom line financially, or to the community's obvious desire on the whole, I realize there are people who didn't, but on the whole, desire for the passenger-only ferry service to start. And to provide that service to the community. So I think...
Yeah. yeah, we had Mary and I and Jim in public sessions, had many discussions about that. What was our priority? And it came down to being the community and the public and how it wasn't going to be necessarily we're going to make as much money as we possibly can off this. It was we were doing something for the good of the community, and that had to be our bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
In all of our conversations and in all of our decisions.
I see the overall electorate desire as well as part of this deal too, where we had the public that voted on this to happen for Kitsap Transit to negotiate with ports. And, it's the will of the people as well that we're also looking at with this. I am looking at the preferential use area. I know exactly what you're saying, Ron. But I also feel that there is a bit of wiggle room in and we have other facilities here too. So if we want to, fuel up other boats or whatever, we have the facilities for that. We have the ability to do that. We have a big dock at the end of the guest dock as well. That people could, have a small little whale watching boats or even medium sized whale watching. I've seen 150 foot boats tied up to that dock at the end, that's in the summer. So
Pardon?
It's a 75 foot dock. Is it?
It's 90 feet.
90.
Yeah, I've seen a big boat take up the whole thing in there before. So. Whether it's 120 or what, I don't know. But, my point is large boats can tie up on that dock as well. We have some flexibility. I think we have flexibility in the future as well to, add additional facilities here as well, or even, do an expansion. But I think the biggest problem with the 350 and the fact that we have to have Coast Guard involvement in this existing float, that's a big problem. And they have to be assured that it's locked down. The Coast Guard, and this is really complicated, the Coast Guard has to have that assurance. So.
I wanted to report on a conversation that I had with John Clausen yesterday about the King County potential. Based on all of the work I've done in terms of transportation planning and watching how King County interacts with smaller jurisdictions, I was concerned that ultimately if the service was passed on to them, and particularly if Kitsap Transit was in the center as a go-between, that we would either end up on the short end of the stick from Kitsap Transit essentially saying, we're done, or from King County saying, we've got you now. And I was actually very heartened to hear that that is a strong concern that Kitsap Transit has, that is not, that they, John at least, John Clausen, regards himself as the gatekeeper for Kitsap, because it's not just about Kingston, it's about all of the passenger ferry to Kitsap County. And he is actively involved right now in a different direction, which is looking at working on a regional passenger-only ferry agency, essentially, that Gig Harbor and Tacoma and even Anacortes is part of the Olympia, Everett, and someplace else up in the San Juans, that they are looking at creating a network, a district that in fact King County's one of the members, but not the owner.
Exclusively the owner.
And which would have very strong benefits for all of us, I think. And the fact that he's engaged in that process was heartening. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
So
I had heard little rumors.
Yeah. So is there anything else that you want to add?
That we can add? No, but I understand the problem that you have, and I understand the bind you have. And I feel kind of helpless, but I feel sorry that we've got to this point. But there's one good thing. There's always a bright star in there. All those people behind us aren't going to know that you guys passed this years and years from now, so you don't have to stand and face them. And it's too bad, whether it's your fault, my fault, Kitsap Transit's fault, you're not going to have to bear the brunt of this. The Newport commissioner's going to have. And they're probably come from behind the window there.
Yeah. And people will be free to change things. So I think we should look at action and... So the action that we're talking about is authorizing the executive director to approve the lease and agreement as presented.
Is there a motion that we approve the lease as written?
Is there a second?
I'm going to second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I understand Ron's, frustration with this. I know he's a public member that's been involved throughout this history, if you will. And I really respect his comments, absolutely. But I think we're in a spot where we really need to look at what the public has asked us to do, and that is clear that the voting public wanted the passenger only ferry. I think it's a fair contract, and I also think that there's enough room in relation to this exclusivity that both assures the port that we can also use our facility that we have subleases on, and also that Kitsap Transit also has that assurance that we're not going to, do something else in relation to other companies. So I
have the sense that there is in here the framework for a collaborative partnership.
Yes.
And that is that agency style of operating. Mm-hmm. And sure about King County, but I do believe that Kitsap Transit, based on what I've seen, does a lot of their business with partnerships.
Yeah.
And so I support what you're saying, Steve.
Yeah.
I think partly of what John addressed to you, Mary, is also what we want.
Yes.
Which sounds to me like an expansion of the mosquito fleet. And isn't that what we are looking for the future, is that we want more coming in, more people from different areas being able to visit Kingston, being able to, for all of us to be able to not just travel by cars, but also to be able to travel by the waterways.
Have an alternative for travel.
Right.
Absolutely.
And if we can go from here to Olympia or Everett or San Juan's just from Kingston, that's exactly what we were hoping to happen down the road.
And again, the contract is with the Kitsap Transit Benefit Area, with Kitsap Transit currently doing business as that group. So to me, we've got that framework is there. That exclusivity for that group could also be inviting that overall agency, if you will, to expanding service. And again, they want assurance that they're going to be able to do that. So it's not really just with Kitsap Transit, it's this overall concept too. So
I think Frank went into the negotiations knowing what we wanted, and he came out with the best that we could have.
Yeah,
that was his job.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew the parameters of their security measures and things.
Yeah.
And I think,
I'm comfortable with this action.
Thank you, Commission. It's a tough decision. It was a tough negotiation, yeah. But mm-hmm. I feel that it was something that we really needed to move forward.
Terry has something there.
Yes.
Merely for the record and for the benefit of the media, you have been using the term fairly often, exclusivity. In actuality, the only thing they have exclusivity on is the ticket booth.
Correct.
You know, the correct term for the majority of what you're dealing with is preferential.
Preference.
Yes.
Yep.
Which
or public access.
Hmm?
Or public access.
Or public access. By far large, the largest part of the area is public access.
Exactly.
Thank you for that clarification. Are we ready to move on to the next contract? Today is contract day. So the next item is the contract with OESD 114 for IT services. That's in the front of your packet.
So, Commissioners, we talked about this two meetings ago, and then we had Carl Miller come in and make a presentation the last meeting, kind of outlining what OESD can offer the port. As you know, that we've had great support from Help Desk Calvary, which has done a lot of our IT support for a number of years. But they are great company to deal with businesses, and they really don't do a lot of government work. And it became obvious to us during our public records deal that we needed someone who really understood public records. OESD is a government agency. It supports all the school districts throughout the area. They understand our business and their need for public records support and categorizing. And the presentation that Carl gave you last meeting was pretty much outlined all they do. And the negative to this is they are quite a bit more expensive than Help Desk Calvary. What they offer us is on-site service. When we have a problem, yesterday I was locked out of my computer, I needed to call Help Desk. They had to, you know, call me back, then they took control of my computer remotely. The whole thing took quite a while. Having on-site support for things like that would be much, much better.
Mm-hmm.
And as Lacey works to really organize our records in a way that are really retrievable,
mm-hmm.
I think that OESD can help with that and make that more seamless than it is currently.
Yeah.
So the difference in price, we paid Help Desk Calvary about $12,000 a year. OESD is $19,000 a year. So we are looking at a sizable increase. But what that'll give us is on-site service and the knowledge of dealing with government agencies.
To me, that government agency knowledge is the key here. Understanding, especially public records requests and things like that, and they have a very good track record, I think. I was impressed with his presentation about that. And I feel pretty good about bringing them on.
I think my his presentation was fabulous. His information was, you know, spot on for what I think the port needs. But my bottom line was that the staff wrote a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying, we really want this. We need this. This is something that, and to me, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
That's a really big thing. Because we're not there. Us three are not there on the everyday operations of what goes on. Jim and the staff are. And who would know better? It wouldn't be us. It would be them.
Uh-huh. I appreciate the
letter. Yeah, I was impressed with that, too.
I haven't seen that in 2.5 years I've been here. I was like, whoa. I'd also like to comment that, and I may have spoken to this briefly, but I'm reviewing the work that I've done with OESD through the KITNET that was part of mm-hmm. the KITSEP Regional Coordinating mm-hmm. Council. Mm-hmm. And the whole period of time when public records issues were evolving, especially with regards to all of the electronic transmittals and data, I was very aware that many agencies were strong-arming it, annoyed, and dismissive. Mm-hmm. And I immediately put a program in place for the KRCC mm-hmm. and said, oh, this isn't nearly so difficult as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And what I was also very aware of was that Carl Miller, who is responsible for everything about OESD 114, I've watched that grow, was the only member of the KITNET, which was all of the public agencies' IT directors, who was not dismissive. Everyone recognized that it was an important, pretty difficult burden, mm-hmm. given particularly more complex organizations. Mm-hmm. But he was the only one that actually clearly set about making it work. No resistance. And that spoke enormously to me. Mm-hmm. And he became sort of the public records guru in that group because mm-hmm. of that attitude that said, hey, we may not like it, but we've got to do it, and we've got to do it well. Mm-hmm. And so I feel really good when I heard that Jim was talking with him about getting this set up for us as well, because I think Carl is kind of the gold standard on all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Our contract with Help Desk requires a 30-day notice. So if you approve this, we'll have to give them 30 days notice before they turn it over. But part of that contract is a working with the new provider to do an organized turnover.
Right. That's good.
So we probably should have done the discussion after opening having a motion on the floor.
But yeah. Just too eager.
Yeah.
There we were. So is there a motion to authorize the executive director to approve this contract with OESD 114?
I so move.
Now I second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? A ghost. Okay. So our third contract is the contract with Homeland Construction for the passenger-only ferry waiting area. And I don't know, that's your blue mark.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Jim, do you want to describe this at all in terms of the bidding process and whatever?
So the waiting area, the transfer span, the gerbil tube, whatever you want to call it, or the three containers that are sitting down on piles.
Yeah.
That structurally are okay, but really, I was out there yesterday joking that it rains more inside than it does outside, because it did.
Condensation from the metal, probably.
So we went out to bid. We were so sure that this deal was going to go through last year that I went out to bid November 10th. with ads in the paper. So it's been quite a few months.
Yeah.
The only bidder at the time was Homeland Construction, and they are the low bidder, and so we would like to move forward with that. The contract is for $287,000. And what that will include is a bunch of things. In order to effectively run a passenger ferry service, we need to have something that's weather tight, number one. We have need to have something that has airflow through it, also has insulation in it. So the plan is to just frame in the outside, blow in the insulation of the, you know, the expandable insulation, mm-hmm. drywall it, put on a couple of mini split heat pumps so you have air conditioning in there and heat, carpet, and that's pretty much it, clean it up, put a new roof on so it doesn't leak.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this contract does. The reason for the urgency is that Homeland Construction has a big job on Mercer Island that he's pulling off to in June. And so this really needs to get done, or we'll lose him and we'll have to find another contractor, because he will be busy through September on Mercer Island. So I've included some pictures, some drawings, and engineering work that we've had done.
Oh, I thought I was going to turn this and see pictures of it all finished, but no, it's why it needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Those pictures.
Yeah, when you look at this, I love the welcome to Port of Kingston side. It's very sad.
Yeah, that's sad looking.
Wow.
Is that anticipated to have to reflect the welcome to Port of Kingston sign on the new?
Yes. So the idea would be that you would redo the outside, and then there would be, from when you got off the boat, there would be something with the same font that we're using that says welcome to Kingston. And I think it should be welcome to Kingston, not Port of Kingston. I think it should say welcome people to our community.
So. Yeah. I see a lot of bird droppings, et cetera, and so forth on here as well. So I'm assuming there'll be some anti-coal attachments.
So all of that is going to be Kitsap Transit. They will do all the maintenance. So once it's built, they're going to be cleaning bird things, putting bird deterrents on. We're just doing the capital work. They maintain it.
Right.
But you can see that decking is all rotten.
Yeah.
The whole deck needs to be replaced.
Yeah, sure enough.
But we're not expanding the footprint of the building. The building is basically the same. We're just insulating and new siding. Mm-hmm.
So before we go further into discussion, is there a motion to authorize the executive director to approve this home contract with Homeland Construction?
I make that motion.
I will second that.
Okay. Is there further discussion? I would like to inquire whether, for instance, the bird deterrent, the gull deterrent, will the design of this facility be within our either control or permission?
From the commission?
Yeah. No, really from Port of Kingston as opposed to Kitsap Transit.
So the design, our architect that did our building did the design. So that was our design. The only thing I'm asking, and Kitsap Transit has copies of all this, the only thing I'm asking them for is interior finishes. What color carpet do you want in there?
Oh.
What kind of siding? But the box is what the box is. We can't expand it at all. We can't move out. We can't go anything. So it is what it is. We have to deal within that 8 foot by 120 foot frame.
Mm-hmm.
supposedly Kitsap Transit had a meeting yesterday, their operations staff, to select those finishes, but I haven't heard from them.
And so if commissioners had concerns about, for instance, bird deterrence, there would be an opportunity to address them.
Yeah, good.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
More other questions, comments, discussion?
I don't really have any.
No.
Okay, so
I like it's a Kingston company, for one thing. That's great.
I do too. Okay, so call for the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed.
Fantastic.
So, Jim, in terms of appropriate meeting protocol, if we've all agreed, and since there are only three of us, do I need to go through any opposed?
I wouldn't think so. Okay. You got two, four.
Yeah, just check it.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
Okay, motion passes. Three contracts. Boom. Is no more public comment. Would you reach out to John and Ron and
yes.
appropriately thank them for the depth of their concern yeah. and their willingness to come talk, even though I think they both felt it was something of a futile effort. Thank you. Any other staff comments?
Not at this time. Looking forward to moving forward on the IT, though.
Yeah.
Well, that mm-hmm. we have a long list of them to do.
Yes, good. Yeah.
We started a list.
You do have a list started? Okay. That's excellent.
Great. Thank you.
Terry?
Yeah, someone once said that politics is the art of compromise. And someone else said that you know you've got a good contract when both sides feel like they got screwed. So I would say probably this is an exceptional contract.
You might have something there. Yes.
Thank you, Terry.
That's good.
It's good to keep perspective.
Jim? I just wanted to bring the commission up to date on Washington Boulevard and Park. You may have noticed for 2 days they weren't doing any work. When you open the ground up, you find things that you didn't really want to find. There were no bones, don't worry. But the stormwater system that was supposedly in the ground was not in the ground, or at least it was severely undersized. So we had to do a little scrambling with our engineers. Team 4 is an amazing engineering company.
Yeah, they are good.
Through. Yeah, they worked almost 24 hours to get a new stormwater design. The county was amazing to get that changed in and approve it. So today the excavators are moving again, and we're hoping to have it all graded, to grade, by the end of the day.
Awesome.
So things are moving, but it was a little scary there when we saw an 8-inch pipe in the ground instead of 12.
And this on a day when you didn't have access to your computer.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Commissioner Cummings.
I attended the meeting here with Rob Gelder,
Baker,
and Bolger.
Jim Bolger.
Yeah, it was a difficult meeting. There were some good points, but there was also some very, you know, that they weren't, you know, a couple of them weren't as in tune with Kingston as I thought they would be. And when they were talking about the deal that apparently the county has with the tribe and with the contractors of Sea Vista, the new development, that they're going to help enhance one of the corners, either Country Corners or the one by the middle school. It wasn't quite clear which one it was. And people were saying, what does that have to do with Sea Vista coming and the traffic that's going to go on South Kingston Road to Bay Bridge, the back way, once the bridge opens up? And the comment that was made was, well, the people in Indianola will come that way to go to Bainbridge. And we all went, there was a collective what in the room, because that's just not, you know. Mm. And then Rob said, no, no, people won't come back into... It was like it wasn't as... I just felt very disconnected at the... There wasn't as much connection. I mean, there was some good information, but yet there was some like, wait a minute here. So I guess they're having another one soon. So I'm looking forward to going to that one and seeing if more progress has been made in the... Because of the additional funds that came through, there's now one point... And instead of just having the 500, there was another 740,000 or 750, somewhere around there. So there's more money that's now available for the transportation for the 104 working group to come up with what exactly that's going to go for. And so they were going to have a meeting, Rob said, and he's going to come back and give another report. So that I'm looking forward to hearing what exactly they're going to do with portions of that money. So
was there discussion about the essential piece was came out of the growth table?
Yeah.
And from the community conversation.
Yes.
In late February.
Yes.
And the sense that I had reading what Ben Prince sent out was that this would be a, really be talking not just about that development or this development, but about how does the community affect growth.
There was a little bit of that, but not as much. Were you there?
No.
Okay. But not as much as what I thought there would be. They did present the map that I saw that Jim had that showed, you know, kind of the colors and laid out all the different areas and where everything was located. And some people had some questions about that, but I just didn't get out of that meeting what I was really hoping to get out of it. And Bim was there, but there wasn't a lot of people there either. I was surprised that it was a pretty small crowd. And
well, it didn't help the 10 of us were across the hall.
That's true. So, and three quarters of the way through, right. I think a quarter of the crowd had left. So, yeah. Mm. It was, but, you know, I'm looking forward to the next one. I am looking forward to that. Because I think that I felt that Rob was very engaged and was trying to actually, you know, get somewhere with everything. But, you know, he made it very clear that we in Kitsap are paying less than our fair share of taxes.
And how do we determine what our fair share is?
Yeah. Yeah. That things would be easier if we were paying our fair share and then they could do more things. Yeah. So, you know, but, you know, at least we're... I appreciate the fact that they're coming and they're having these meetings so that we can come at least, you know, glean from it what we want and what we need. And I appreciate that. And so I'm glad to go to the next one, too. And, yeah.
I attended the Port Gamble Forest and Bay celebratory kickoff, I guess, meeting or whatever it was. Celebrate, so pretty a celebration. That was at Port Gamble last week, and it was just fantastic. There were Port Gamble Skalum tribal members that were the drummer group that were there, and John Rose and OPG folks, and all of the Forterra people that had been involved in all of those very complex negotiations for locking up that 4,000 plus acres at Port Gamble for the future, for in perpetuity. And I was really impressed with the people that were there and how everybody was just, you know, was a group full of very happy people. It was awesome. Yeah, it's real neat.
I didn't do much of anything the last couple of weeks, honestly. But I am very interested in another county task force or committee, the Urban Village Core, Barriers to Effectively Developing Downtown Kingston, which Jim is a member of, and I've been, you know, kind of crashing that party and listening. And I was wondering if you had anything to share particularly about what's...
Well, it's interesting dealing with the people on the committee. They're very diverse, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're all pretty united on the fact that there are just a few barriers to development that we would really like addressed in the comp plan. And the county staff seems to be supportive of those. You know, obviously, as communities change over time, we make rules that say that there needs to be a mixed-use facility for anything that's built in the urban core. But as times change, you know, retail down below or residential doesn't always work. Sometimes there's nobody to rent that retail spot. So looking at not requiring retail down below residential is one of the things we're looking at. The other thing that we're looking at is parking requirements.
Yes.
So how does parking, if you develop, is there a way that possibly the port could be a parking development company where you would, a developer could rent 5 spaces within a port complex for that. So it's a fascinating thing to listen to, how those are going through with ideas. Obviously, our recommendations are going to go to the Planning Commission. Planning Commission will then make a recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners. Mm-hmm. But at least they're putting this group together to really hear from the community what we need. And there, besides myself, but there's Betsy Cooper, you know, kind of the environmental person. There's John Rose, sort of a developer. There's Mike Brown, who's a big-time developer. And there's Johnny Walker, you know, just a local businessman and resident. Mm-hmm. So it's a very diverse community of people and voices. Mm-hmm. I don't like doing 12 meetings at 6 to 9 at night, but they're really informative.
Yes.
They're still there when we left.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was something that was interesting that did come out of that meeting, that Rob was saying that in regards to public comments that people were getting, that they had gotten very few public comments, but yet they're getting a lot of emails. So it seems to be the way that people are actually getting their point across is emailing, which is a good thing to keep in mind.
I understood that hearing on the 144 was in Paulsboro.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a good point that got brought up too, because people were saying, why was it in Paulsboro? And the point that was made was that the Village Green wasn't available during the time they wanted to have it, and then people were saying, you mean for the whole period of time? And like Rob pointed out, which I didn't even think about, he says, well, there's a timeline. There's a certain timeline. We have to do these things within a certain parameters, or, you know, like just with our contract here, there's certain parameters that we have to go by.
Yes.
And that's what he pointed out, which I totally get that. You know, that's, yeah.
Well, I get it, but I don't totally buy it.
I know. See, that's, that's, yeah.
Yeah, part of the,
I understand.
Part of the problem, I think, is that the way that you have to advertise hearings, you don't have enough flexibility to, clear, you know, the space, if you will, on a schedule. So understanding that you are required to have a public notice 2 weeks prior to the hearing, and then to be able to have that in the newspaper, you have to do that a week ahead of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, 3 weeks prior to when the meeting's going to be. So there's not enough room, if you will. Yeah.
Wouldn't you have had to have checked and figured out the location before any of
well,
that
before,
happened?
Well, before, yes. Yeah, right. Yep.
Any other comments from
the good of the order here?
Okay. Well, our next regular meeting date is Wednesday, April 25th, which is a week from tomorrow. And I think we're adjourned.
Thank you.